Welcome to the Lab Safety Gurus Podcast. I'm Dan Scungio.
And I'm Sean Kaufman, and together we're providing safety insights for those working in laboratory settings, doing safety
together. Sean, it is great to be back talking with you. Today I want to talk about something that it's kind of a broad topic, but the title of the topic I want to talk about is 5 minutes with a lab leader.
Ooh, well, that's a, okay. Well, do you mind if I start with a question?
Yeah, please do.
How do you define a leader? That's a, I think that's where we got to start.
Okay, you just threw me way off. That's way off topic. No, it's not really. What is a lab leader? Is it the lab manager? Is it the director? Is it the medical director? Is it the PI? Is it the professor? Is it the, what is a lab manager? Or is it, or lab leader? Is it somebody who's in charge of a certain section of the lab? That's a good question.
Well, I mean,
when I think of a lab leader, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was thinking, is it a position of authority? I mean, that's,
does it?
Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, does it have to be? So in my career in the clinical lab, I will watch people who are working in the lab who are not in official leadership roles, and I'll watch to see whether or not they own their job. And when they start to show ownership, they take ownership, they go above and beyond, then I start to think, this is a leader in their group, and they're going to be a future leader in title before too long, because I'm going to mentor them, I'm going to keep them going on their trajectory. So being a leader can come with an official title, or maybe it doesn't.
Yeah, what I wonder is if we were in a classroom, Dan, which, you know, you and I both love, if we were out there and we were to say, all right, how many of you have seen someone who has a leadership position but is not acting like a leader? How many hands would go up, Dan?
Both of mine are up right now.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. We have a pandemic of absentee leadership. I mean, we really do. Leadership absenteeism is huge.
So that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this today, because I have worked with several different laboratory leaders. I'm a lab safety officer. That is my job. And sometimes when I work with a lab leader and they support lab safety, it makes my job so easy. The lab looks great. Things are going well. But, you know, I have oversight in my job of over 20 laboratories, and that means 20 different official leaders, managers, whatever, and to think that they would all have the same level of support for safety, that's just not reality. So when I talk about something like 5 minutes with a lab leader, I'm like trying to talk to somebody who's going to be able to influence the safety culture in the laboratory. But here's something else I always teach, Sean. I teach this to everybody in my consulting business, and that is, if you're a leader, you better be leading lab safety. But if your leader is not somebody who supports lab safety, this is what you can do to make a difference for safety in your laboratory. I have to teach both, because that is the reality. Leadership is absent, or they're not supporting lab safety in so many labs.
Well, I mean, I can back up everything you're saying by just reminding people who have children. I mean, look, your house is as organized as how engaged the parents are. If you're engaged in your children's lives, then your children are going to be just fine. But if you're not, then the children are going to lose track. They're going to lose their focus. They're going to lose their ways. And so when you look at it, leadership, it's a human function. We see it with parents. We see it with coaches on teams, Dan. The reality is how engaged leadership is a huge factor in how well safety is going to be implemented throughout the organization.
So, Sean, where do you give grace when you need to? I always try to think of the person and all that they have to do, and people do so much damage to their lab safety culture. Some leaders damage it so badly, they don't intend to. They're, you know, running into the lab, they've got an emergency, they have to talk to somebody in the lab, And so they run in there. They don't notice Johnny's chewing gum. They don't notice Jane doesn't have a lab coat on. And they really need to talk to Sharon about something. They do, and they run back in their office. Now, they didn't intend to do that. Their plate is full. They're busy. But by not noticing those safety issues and not saying anything about them, they just did so much damage to their safety culture unintentionally. So I try to give them grace because I've been a laboratory manager. I know what it's like to have so many things on your plate. And I have seen safety issues like PPE issues. And I always note it in my head, you know what, I think I'm going to address that later because there's a bigger issue right now. This person's wearing mesh sneakers, but I really got to fix the schedule, and I need them on my side right now. I can't be talking to them about their sneakers. I sort of understand that, having been in that position. But what do you do? Where do you draw the line? How do you make sure that safety is always on your plate?
Well, this is tough. I think the example that you provided is a very challenging one because you're almost expecting a human being to be fully aware of the environment and the staff within the environment. And if they're not, if their awareness levels aren't there, then we evaluate their leadership skills and capabilities on that. And I know you're not alluding to that, but you're right. Sometimes that can happen. I don't, Dan, my idea of safety leadership is unique. It may be different. And what I mean by that is that I believe that a safety officer has the sensitivity to see the things that you're talking about. So, for example, I was at a wedding once, and there was an entomologist who was there, and I was outside, and this entomologist was talking about whether or not I heard the crickets, and I said, "Yeah, I hear the crickets." And the entomologist said, "Do you know there's like 60 different crickets?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? I hear a cricket." And they're like, "No, these are different crickets," and it's like, that individual's been trained to actually listen to the differences. A safety officer has been trained to detect potential risks in the lab. And so when I think of leadership, laboratory leadership, I think of the safety professional being able to say, "Hey, we've got concerns." And if the staff in the lab don't listen to the safety officer, the leadership comes down and makes them listen. The leadership comes down and supports and backs up safety. The leadership demonstrates a commitment to safety, not just with words, but with actions. And so that's kind of, I believe everybody can demonstrate leadership qualities, but a leader, like a child can act like a parent, but in the end, a parent still is going to have to be a parent. And so I believe everyone within a lab has to demonstrate leadership qualities, meaning if it's only going to take, for example, Dan, and I don't want to dominate this, but if someone's eating a chicken biscuit in the lab and there are five people watching this person eat a chicken biscuit and it takes the safety officer to come in and say, "You shouldn't be eating a chicken biscuit," we have a lack of leadership quality in the lab. Okay?
Yeah.
So it's those other five people should be saying, "You shouldn't be eating a chicken biscuit in the lab." To me, leadership is the force that holds people accountable to the expectation of the organization, and that everybody else must have leadership qualities, but leadership is critical for safety.
It is, and that's why if I had 5 minutes with a lab leader who is in a leadership position, I'd be having a conversation with them about that and asking, are they supporting safety in the way that they should in that way? Because I see that a lot. I'm a lab safety officer. I'll walk into a laboratory and I'll see a vendor working on an analyzer trying to fix it, and they're not wearing a lab coat. So I immediately walk up to them and I say, "What size lab coat can I get you?" Because that kind of a statement automatically tells them, okay, I have to be wearing a lab coat. There's no question about it. They tell me their size, and when I bring it to them, I apologize to them. Like, "I'm sorry that nobody else in the lab who was watching you do this work offered you PPE. That's on us." And I say it loud enough usually when other people are around in the lab because I want them to understand that should be our culture.
What a beautiful.
But it often, it's sad that I have to do that.
It's a beautiful approach though, Dan. I mean, it really, it's a beautiful approach because There is no option given. And, you know, it's almost like if you want your child to wear shorts for the day, you say, what color shorts do you want to wear? And the child doesn't even know because they've got some type of control. So now it's a beautiful approach. Right. It really is.
I wish it would work for other kinds of PPE and other safety issues. I'm trying to find that same powerful culture statement that there's no choice for other things. So maybe we could have a podcast about that one day to come up with some other good ideas.
Absolutely. You know, if I had 5 minutes with a leader, and I do, I mean, in the work that I do, I am very fortunate. I get to talk to several leaders of large-scale operations. One of the greatest returns of investment in safety, Dan, is leadership presence on the front line. So if I had 5 minutes with a laboratory leader, I would say, get out. Get to the front line, talk to your staff, ask them, are you having any safety challenges? Are you having any concerns? Do you have any issues? Literally flatten the organization by getting out as a leader and talking to your frontline staff.
What do they call that in high reliability organizations? Rounding to influence.
Yes.
Leaders, that's a HRO tool.
Yes.
But you're not influencing unless you're modeling.
Correct.
And so if you're a leader and you're rounding with your staff, with whoever's in the lab, then you need to make sure you're modeling those safe behaviors. I'm going to be in the lab coat holding a huddle. I'm going to be in the lab holding a huddle. Put on a lab coat. I'm going to be doing some work where I'm at the counter and I'm going to be touching some things. Put on some gloves and a lab coat. You know, model the behavior. Wear the correct shoes. Wear the correct pants in the lab. I was performing an inspection in a lab, and I was finding a lot of safety issues, and the safety officer was with me, and she turned to me, and she was very upset. She said, Dan, why aren't people doing the right thing in this lab? And I looked at her and I said, are you often in these labs as the safety officer? And she said, yeah. And I said, okay, but today you're wearing capri pants and mesh sneakers. What is the message you're sending? You're walking through all the labs in clothes that aren't even acceptable in a laboratory. So modeling, if you're going to round to influence, make sure you're modeling too. Model the right behaviors. Model the use of PPE and engineering controls, whatever it is you need to be doing as a leader.
Also, too, what I'm hoping, Dan, is that maybe somewhere out there, somebody listening to this may say, you know, maybe the leader at my organization could benefit from this podcast. And if anybody receives something like that, I'm hoping that they also, leaders, can promote psychological safety, meaning I want leaders in organizations to promote difficult conversations. There are so many times, Dan, that I hear people say, hey, Sean, our leaders are unengaged. They don't even engage. Like, I feel like I have to be a police officer. And I keep reminding people, if you're safety, you're not a police officer. Your job is to say to someone, I am witnessing things that are a hazard, and I'm communicating with you about those things. I'm hoping that you choose to adhere to or respect what I'm saying. But a lot of people will say, no, it's human nature, Dan. I perceive this risk to be differently. I don't see this as a risk. I don't see jumping out of a plane with a parachute as a risk. I don't see handling a poisonous snake a risk. I would say that's crazy, but they don't see that. It's human nature to have different risk perceptions, and it's also human nature to have different risk tolerances. An organization writes protocols to control for that. And so I would say that, you know, a safety officer's job is to identify a hazard and communicate it and hope that staff choose to adhere to it. And if they don't, then they have to turn to leadership to get that assistance. So I hope leaders promote a psychologically safe culture, a culture where anybody can have difficult conversations, even when they disagree. They can bring those conversations to the forefront and, you know, sometimes even just agree to disagree.
Yeah, and I would say to anybody who's a safety leader out there, and no matter what position you officially have, if you have questions about how to deal with an issue, how to deal with a particular issue, how to support a certain safety issue, how to introduce it, or how to talk to somebody about that, please feel free to pick up the phone or email Sean or myself. We would both be glad to talk to you about this issue and be able to help you with that. There are ways to do that. There are good ways to do it. There are bad ways to do it. But you don't want to ignore it and not be a leader of safety in your laboratory.
Well, Dan, I used to teach. We ran. I developed. I was the founder of the Leadership Institute for Biosafety Professionals many years. I don't know if you knew that, but we ran that program for many years, and we even joined APSA in delivering that program. But one thing we'd do at the beginning of each of those programs, Dan, is we'd have all the staff write their leadership statements. And what we would do, if you wanted to write a leadership, if anyone out there wants to be a leader in safety, to write a leadership statement, you just take leads, because, you know, leaders lead, or leads, L-E-A-D-S, and you find a word for each, a verb for each letter. So, for example, Dan, mine is a leader listens, a leader empathizes with those they serve, a leader adapts to the environment, a leader demonstrates, like you said, okay? And a leader serves. That's my S. So my leadership statement is I will, or my commitment is I will listen, empathize, adapt, demonstrate, and serve. And you can change any of those letters to whatever you want, but that's kind of how you can develop your leadership statement. Just some easy exercise that you can do.
Yep, that is beautiful. And I think if you're listening out there, that is something you should do so you can figure out what that is for you. Write it down, come up with it, massage a little bit, make it right for you, and put it on the board behind you so that you can see it and remember that and be reminded of that every day. Lead safety, please, in your laboratory. We urge you to do that. It's so important for the people you work with. You should be a servant leader, and you should be protecting those who are working in your lab. So stay safe, everyone. And if you want 5 minutes with us, let us know. We'll be glad to help.
We are the Lab Safety Gurus, Dan Scungio and Sean Kaufman.
Thank you for letting us do lab safety together.